I want us not just to have church, but to be the church, Brother Micah. That's what we need, is be the church. I want you to stand to your feet one more time. Turn to the book of Matthew 28, a very common verse of Scripture. I'm sure you've heard it preached numerous times. I preached it myself upon many, many occasions. This is called the Great Commission. Turn to your neighbor and say that phrase, Great Commission. Say it good and loud. I want to hear you. All right. Sounds like I've got everybody on board tonight. As I get ready to read this, if I ask you the question, what is the job of the church in this world today, how would you answer that? How many believe that the job of the church is to reach the lost, to reach the world with the gospel, the good news? Well, I want us to do our job. And tonight, if the Lord would help me, we're going to go through a few verses. We'll look at several scriptures tonight. I want you to gain a new attitude, a new vision toward the Great Commission. I've never preached these verses this way in my entire ministry. And I have preached the Great Commission numerous times, but I want you to gain this tonight. And I really am excited about the words I'm getting ready to share with you. I'm praising God that this is being recorded. I think this is something the church needs to hear. If you're in Matthew 28, I want to focus on the last three verses, which are what is usually preached when we talk about the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18. If you're there, give me one more amen. Amen. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, add your blessing to your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. You may be seated if you wish. The Great Commission, we could also interject the words of Mark, where he tells us to go into the world, and the believer will pray the prayer of faith. They'll save the sick. Amen. They'll cast out devils. They'll take up serpents. Many wonderful signs it talks about accompanying the message of this commission that the Lord give us. Now, looking at this, I want to stress that these are the last words that Jesus gave to the church before he ascended back to God the Father in heaven. These are the parting words. And if you want to leave a thought with someone and you know you're taking a journey and you're going to be parted for many days, you want to emphasize the main thing. The main mission of the church is the mission of the church. It is to go and do the work. And I want to encourage you, allow this local body to fulfill the will and work of God by going out. Our world may be Casey County, Adair County, Russell County. That may be our world and our harvest field. And the Lord said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Understand that the harvest is in need today of those to work and reap it for the kingdom of God. Someone say amen. Amen. You know, I was reading some this past week, and my mind, my thinking cap was stirred of the role the church plays in the world. How many understand we're not of the world? Yet we are in the world. And as we are in the world and across this whole world, we see that part of Christians assimilate into the society, those local societies and those local cultures. And I find that when Jesus came to this earth, he came as part of this world. How many understand that? He participated, went to a marriage. He was around those that, well, were not really what you would say the acceptable portion of the religious community. He fellowshiped with gluttons and winebibbers and prostitutes. And I guess today some of us holy folk would say he shouldn't have done that. Some would say praise the Lord. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I want you to know Jesus was in this world, but he was definitely not of this world. But while he was here, he became salt and light affecting this world. How many are with me? And God don't call you to go off on a cliff somewhere. Someone say amen. God calls you to be part of the world and change the world. Now, there's a fine balance here because we enter a culture and we do things in a culture. But how many understand God don't want you partaking in sin? God don't want you sinning in order to win a sinner. How many know that's common sense? We know that. But we are to be light. We are to be a salt. We are to be that element that affects all that's around it. Amen. But we call this the Great Commission. And I want to look at this in a little different way tonight. And if you will follow me, turn to Psalm 98. And as you're preparing that, understand that Jesus is saying, I have all power. I believe that tonight. I believe my Lord and Savior, the head of this body, has all power. And that he, in turn, with this power, with this influence, with this authority, this ability, he gives the church a commission to go in his name. I don't come here tonight and stand before you to preach my gospel. This is not my gospel. This is Jesus' gospel. I'm not here telling you of my words, my thoughts, and my ideas, but I'm conveying to you the Word of God, and I hope you appreciate the fact that this pastor reads a lot of Scripture, because I'm not in this to tout my own agenda, but I'm in this to lift up Jesus and to pass along a Word to you that's well established. And friend, if it's based on the Word of God, I know it will stand the test of time. I have all confidence in the world. Amen. So Jesus is transferring to the church an absolutely awesome responsibility to carry His Word to the world. And He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to just give this task to you, but I'm going to tag along with you because everywhere you are, I'm going to be there. He said, where two or three were gathered together in my name, there He is in the midst. And I recognize as we launch out and we go into the world that we don't go by ourselves. We carry His authority with us. Hallelujah. Lord, help us tonight to see this. Psalm 98. I want to look at a prophetic statement. In fact, we're going to look at a couple prophetic statements in Psalms and Isaiah. Psalm 98 first, verse 2. The Lord hath made known His salvation. Are y'all ready for this? Put your thinking cap on a minute. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. This is a prophetic statement talking about the gospel being made known. Verse 3 says, He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. Read this with me. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. I read this and I thought, praise God. I love this. Don't that sound good? How many like all of it? Yeah, all of it. But the Lord is saying, God done something. God made known, and then again, this is in prophecy. This was before the Great Commission. This was before the church. This was before the spreading of the Word of the goodness of God through salvation in Christ. He's saying in prophecy here, God's going to make it known. He's made it known. Hallelujah. And I read that. I thought the Lord is credited with doing what the church is going to do. Think of this. Think of this. And I want you to hold that thought. The church, commissioned by Jesus, goes into the world to do not our own work, but His Word, His work that He is accredited of doing right here. God done it. God made it known, but He done it through the instrument of His church. And I feel honored and blessed tonight to be His hand extended to this world. Not bragging, but just humbly boasting in my God. Friends, if anything good comes out of this corrupt pile of flesh, I want you to know it's because of the goodness of God inside. How many are with me tonight? I give Him all the praise and all the credit. Hallelujah. I was talking one time to a preacher that talked about this evangelist coming through town and had a big bus, you know, and it had little words of the gospel and his name's in big tall letters. How many understand I'm not here to lift up Ted Stidham? I'm here to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get our perspective correct. He says, go into the world. I have power. Go ye therefore. The Bible tells us in Acts 1 and 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and unto, Brother David, the uttermost part of the earth. Now, the word power here in the original language is the word exousia, and it means delegated influence or the authority. I'll put it this way. It's permission to speak in His name. And God is saying, I'm going to do the work. I'm going to make known my salvation. It's going to be by my power this work gets done, and I'm going to do it through the instrument of the church. And what we are today is an extension of Jesus to the world. If you're with me, say praise the Lord. I want you to find the book of Isaiah. We are empowered, Brother Delmer, we're authorized to do the work of God. I come to you today in the name of Jesus. Now, we get that wrong. We really do. Friends, you can scream in the name of, articulating it with your vocal cords, and saying that at the top of your lungs, you can sing it. But when we say in the name of Jesus, we're saying by the authority of Jesus. And if there is no faith behind the articulation of His name, no work is going to get done. Are you with me tonight? I'm telling you of the name of Jesus that I believe with all of my heart will move mountains. I believe the name of Jesus will cleanse the most vile sinner. I believe the name of Jesus will get the drunk out of the gutter and put his feet on a solid rock. It'll establish his going. I believe the name of Jesus has power and authority in it. And friends, I'm not in my name tonight, but I'm in His name by His power. And He give the power to the church for the purpose of witnessing. Now, it doesn't say ye shall receive power so that you can show off the gifts of the Spirit and how spiritual you are. How many understand the right perspective, and how many believe we need to covet those gifts and desire them? But He gives you power that you might carry the gospel message to the end of the world. I began the message tonight by asking the question, what is the purpose, the job of the church? And we've got to carry this message to the world. Isaiah 52, the prelude to 53, which in my estimation is possibly the greatest 12 verses of prophecy pertaining to Jesus in the entire world. Old Testament. Awesome, awesome chapter, Isaiah 53. But the prelude leading up to that, I want to begin in 52, verse 8. Isaiah 52, verse 8 says this, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Hallelujah. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. I'm feeling a bounce in my step tonight. I ain't danced real good and hard in a long time. I think tonight would be a wonderful time to just dance before the Lord with all of your might. I was listening to a song, and I listened to it over and over. I don't know if y'all ever do that or not, but hallelujah. I listened to it over and over. And the song is called The Traveler by Don Francisco. And it's an old, old song. But I love Don Francisco. He's the one that wrote He's Alive. How many know the song He's Alive? But it talked about Jesus appearing there in the multitude. There in that room after He appeared to those on the road to Emmaus. And the words of the song says, some lifted hands toward heaven. Some knelt without a sound. Some just stood and stared at Him as if rooted to the ground. But it said, I could not contain the joy that flooded heart and soul. It came rushing out in praises. I had no wish to control. And I want you to know that's the way it is sometimes when the power and the presence of God seem to overwhelm us and we recognize it's not about me tonight. Oh my goodness, what a release. It's not about me tonight. I don't have the responsibility of saving myself, but my faith will save me in Jesus Christ. All of my reliance is on that man of Galilee. I trust Him for my eternity. And I know that I'll have a good destination when this is over. But we can just praise the Lord tonight. I like when it just comes out as a natural outcropping. It's the result. It's the fruit, hallelujah, of a life that's overflowing with the touch of God. I want you to know tears stream out our eyes. And I'll tell you why. Because we're starting to get so full. It ain't got nowhere to go. It's got to come out somewhere. Maybe it'll come out our mouth in praise. Maybe it'll come out our feet in dance. But it needs to come out somehow, some way. I'm not done here. 52. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. A word of prophecy here. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm. This is prophetic right here. In the eyes of all the nations, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. I think of Jesus as the right hand, the right arm, the holy arm, extended to this world, his arm of strength in the Savior. How many believe that God the Father made a plan of salvation and fulfilled it through Christ his Son, his holy arm? Got the victory in another verse. I believe Jesus is the right arm of God. Hear me now, figuratively speaking. But when I read this and I thought about what God is doing today, Jesus Christ, through the instrument of his church, is rolling up his sleeve. He's flexing his muscle. He's sending this word into all the world. And I'm honored tonight to be part of the church of Jesus Christ in this world today. I'm not talking about a denomination or a local organization, but I'm talking about the blood-bought, born-again, redeemed group in this world that's coming when this life is over and the trumpet sounds. We're going to leave here and we're going to be, hallelujah, with him in heaven for eternity. Lift your hands and praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And yes, Sister Betty, I'm going to tell the angel, you just shut up and listen to me sing for a while, because I'm blood bought, I'm redeemed, and this is a song they can't sing. Someone said they sound like an angel. Don't demean yourself that way. Hallelujah. We look at the mechanics of it. And we look at what our ear hears. I want you to know, someone that loves Jesus singing from the heart, don't matter what it sounds like when it comes out, how many know what God hears? You could have all the talent in the world, and don't get me wrong, I love good talent, but we got to have our heart in it. Roll back to chapter number 6, Isaiah chapter number 6. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, since I have power, I give you power. This is the job I want done. I've talked about it for years. I want my salvation shown to the world. And you are my arm extended. I believe the church today can flex the muscle of the Holy Ghost and show this world the goodness of the gospel. I'm getting ready to give you a word tonight, friends. Hallelujah. I'm just laying a foundation right now. I want you to understand who you are. I think today children of God don't know who they are. They take all the junk that the devil just heaps on them. I'll tell you what, we're children of God. I'm somebody today. I'm somebody. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He's my big brother. Going to heaven. Isaiah 6 and 6. In the presence of God. A man who said, woe. Woe is me. How many have ever been there? How many have ever had a pity party? Hello? Who's never had a pity party? Talk to me. Talk to me, church. That's what I thought. Every one of us have had a pity party, but we've had woe is me. We give God 20 reasons and one excuse. I think you have to have 20 reasons to make one excuse. I don't know the ratio there. It's something like that. Maybe it's 20 excuses to have a reason. I don't know. But we see folks have always give God some excuse. Friends, I want to be the hand of God, the arm of God. Hallelujah. I want to flex his muscle to this world. I really, really do. I want to take Brother Micah the gospel. Tell somebody about it. I want you to notice this. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, the sixth-winged angel, spoken of also in Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10, Revelation chapters 5 and 6. Notice this. It says, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Now imagine this angel retrieved it with tongs, then placed it in his hand. How many can hold a live coal? Supernatural being here, bringing with his hand. Verse number 7, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. And thy sin purged. How many believe that a good old-fashioned altar, red-hot altar experience still does a cleansing, purging,
restoring, delivering work. We need to get to the altar, friends. There's fire on the altar. There's healing on the altar. There's forgiveness on the altar. There's cleansing and purification on the altar. Now, this is where I'm going with this. Verse 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And understand, moments earlier, this pity partying Isaiah, this woe is me Isaiah, after having such an experience. Are y'all with me tonight? I don't know if y'all are or not. He went from this point of being on a question mark, of being in a state of anxiety and fear, and I'm amongst a people of unclean lips, and here now I'm looking at the Holy One. My eyes have seen the Lord, and look at me, I fall so short. But then he had an altar experience. Hallelujah. He came in touch with the fire. Dumble Church of God, you need to come in touch with the fire. If you come in touch with the fire, you might have a different attitude about the Great Commission. Instead of sitting on our pew of woe is me, when the Lord said, who needs to go? Who wants to go for me? Who'll stand in the gap for me? Who do the work? Who will carry this gospel? Who will roll up the sleeve of the church and flex my muscle to this world? Who'll do it? And Isaiah said in verse number 8, "Here I am, send me." I'm not asking God tonight to send any of you. I'm asking God to send me tonight. I'm asking God to use me and transform me and make me exactly. Because friends, once we're changed, we'll want to. It ain't that I've got to testify. You'll want to testify. Tonight I want to preach. I'm enjoying this tonight so much because of the touch and the presence of my Lord that I feel. Let's go to the book of Acts. This morning, Sister Betty sung of Beulah Land, and I mentioned in how that in Isaiah, Beulah is only mentioned one time. And in the message this morning, I mentioned success in Joshua 1 and 8, only mentioned one time. And friends, I want to show you the one time in the King James Version of the Bible that the word commission is used. We're talking about the Great Commission in the text that I began with in Matthew 28 does not use the word commission. How many know that? Jesus said go. And go is the commission. Hallelujah. Acts 26 and 10. Let's take just a moment and examine the life of the Apostle Paul before he had the encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. There's something about Sister Betty getting in the presence of God that changes us, that aligns us, that straightens us out, that gets us on the right road. And that's what we need today, friends, is have an encounter with the Lord. Notice verse 10, "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison." Notice what it says here, "having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." In verse 12, "whereupon as I went to Damascus with," read this with me, "authority and" what? "And commission." We want to look at that word commission, "from the chief priest." When an officer in our armed forces is placed into service and the conveyance of the authority to him for them to act in the name of the United States of America, he is commissioned. When a ship is deemed seaworthy and it's placed in the water and it's ready to sail and launch out, it's commissioned. And friends, I want you to know this is what the church has done. By Jesus, we have been commissioned. Now, what I want to do here, there's two other versions. I want to read this again. And notice verse 12. "Whereupon, as I went from Damascus," what does it say? It says, "with authority and commission." Another version of the Bible says, "King Agrippa, one day I was on my way to Damascus with authority and permission." Somebody say permission. From the chief priest. Hallelujah. Another version, it says, then when I was journeying from Damascus with authority and orders of the chief priest. Now, what commission is in the context of what Paul is saying here? Paul is saying, I have documentation that states I have the authority to arrest those that call on the name of Jesus. He had literal papers in his possession that gave him the ability to arrest. What he had was a warrant. And what I want to tell the church today, Jesus sent you into the world and he gave you papers of warrant to arrest any power of the enemy that would harm you, that would get in your way. Again, understand that with this gospel, with this commission, we have power to heal. I believe that today. In the name of Jesus, sickness has to go. In the name of Jesus, devils have to flee. And make no mistake, friend, the enemy belongs nowhere unless he's under your feet. Can you say amen? Duly authorized commission, given the authority based upon the one that has the authority. Now, friends, I want you to know, hallelujah, let me give you just a little illustration. Here in Casey County, if you have a vehicle with flashing lights on it, are y'all with me today? And it's the fire department, you can't do a whole lot. Help me understand the difference between a vehicle that's from the fire department that has flashing lights and that from the sheriff's department. Somebody say there is a difference. And the difference is the authority base behind it. A warrant is only good as the issuer of the warrant. That seal, that emblem, that authority, whatever that is on the warrant, needs to be that which is in authority. Now, I don't know exactly how all this would work, but if a local county government made an issue and the state says, no, you're going to do this, but then the federal government says, no, you're going to do this, the highest authority wins. How many understand that? Now, who are we talking about tonight? Brother Micah, who gave the church this commission? Was the commission given to the church by the bishops of Cleveland, Tennessee? I beg not, friends. Now, don't get me wrong. I love our church. I love our denomination. But I've got a higher authority today that's conveyed power upon me. I am an ordained bishop in the church of God. But friends, I've been anointed by the Holy Ghost from on high. A greater authority has put his seal of approval on this church and the work of this church. Hallelujah. Understand that it's based on the words of Jesus. Do y'all believe the word of God? I mentioned that this morning. How many believe? I told my dad that. I asked my dad, do you believe the Bible's the word of God? And as I shared, he without hesitation said, yes, I do. And I started giving him scripture. Friends, when you start telling the scripture to a believer, something's going to happen. I tell you what it done. It was the Holy Ghost. And I didn't share it this morning, but I was feeling the Lord when I was sharing it with my daddy. And I said, just to make sure, I said, can the Word of God be wrong? And he said, absolutely not. And I knew the firm foundation I was on. I'm so blessed to tell you that I led my daddy to the Lord in prayer. A few days later, I baptized him. And I was not seeing a change in that man. His friends seen a change in that man. And I'm looking forward to seeing him one day. But I want to ask you that. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Can it be wrong? The statement that Jesus said when he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Can that verse be at all inaccurate? No, my friends, you can bank on that verse. And if he has that authority and he's given that authority unto the church, know that your warrant is valid and you can issue it on the power of the enemy. You can arrest the devil in your life, in your home, in your family, on your job, in your church, in your body, in your mind. Hallelujah. Because the warrant is valid today. No, it didn't go out in the days of the apostles. He's still God today. The Holy Ghost is still available to the church today. Just need to roll up your sleeve and flex the muscle of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Luke 10. And on his vesture and on his thigh, there's a name written.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. They put it in print. I like that. They embroidered it. Oh, in his long flowing robe. Have me understand that on the bells of those garments, they had holiness unto the Lord. But Jesus is Alpha. Jesus is Omega. Jesus is your finisher. He's your author. He's your first. He's your last. He's your beginning. He's your end. He's the root and offspring of David. He is the bright and morning star. He is the one, the seed of David, that Isaiah 9:6 said the government would be upon his shoulder. Hallelujah. Why aren't y'all dancing to that? That was a pew running statement if I ever spoke one from my lips. That was it right there. Luke 10. Don't you feel the presence of the Lord in here tonight? I told you this would be better than the Super Bowl. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Luke 10 and 18. I want to close with this. Sister Betty, will you make your way to the piano? If you want to read this verse with me, you can read it first with me. But you did. You're good to go. Verse 18. And he said unto me, I beheld Satan as lightning. May I say that the phrase as lightning here describes how resounding that defeat was. Boom. Help me picture that. He's seen the devil slung out of heaven. I don't know if God on the tips of his finger just done like this and lightning, he found himself on the back on the ground. I don't know. But that was the measure. How many are with me? I was talking to a man at work. Ooh, y'all talk about Jesus everywhere you go like I do. I hope you do. But we was talking about Bible prophecy, this, that, and the other. And I says, people don't get it. You know, Daniel chapter number 2 talks about the world kingdoms in the image. Head of gold, Babylonian, arms of silver, Medo-Persian, the fine belly of brass, which is the Grecian, the legs, which is the Roman, iron feet, part of iron, part of clay. But all that's good and well. If you understand that and know the successive kingdoms, great. But I want to tell you, you better know the rock. Woo! Because the rock cut out of the mountains without hands, without the intervention of human strength. Understand, the hand of man didn't take this rock. But that rock struck that image on the feet. And that image crumbled to powder. So that the wind carried away the powder. How fine does dust have to be ground before the wind drives it away, Brother Micah? How decisive is the victory of Christ over all that's in the world? When he said, all power is given to me, and I'm conveying the power to the church. I give you power to be witnesses. I'm using you to flex my arm in the world. You're the instrument that carries this message to the end of the earth. How many tonight, maybe the Lord will help us have a different attitude about the Great Commission. I count it an honor tonight to tell you that I am a gospel preacher, that I love Jesus and that I'm born again, that I'm blood-bought. I count it an honor. I count it an honor to be able to share that. But I was telling that brother, and we was talking about different things of Bible prophecy, and we was talking about Revelation and how it all centers around Jesus. No, we don't understand all the symbols. No, we don't understand all the metaphors and the figurative language. We don't. But friends, in Revelation, I know the Lamb slain. I understand that. And I know the rock in Daniel. And everywhere you go in the Word of God, you're going to find Jesus. And you're going to find Him altogether lovely. Hallelujah. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Let me keep reading verse 19. I didn't finish this, did I? Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all. Somebody say all. Don't say some. Don't say most. It says all. Have me believe this word is right.
Amen.
I'm not misquoting this, friends. All the power of the enemy. And what? Nothing shall by any means harm. But then he goes on to say, thinking of this absolute victory the church has. He says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you. But this rejoice in that your names are written in heaven. How many are thankful tonight that you know Jesus?
Praise the Lord.
That He is the lover of your soul. Thinking of that song, some lifted hands toward heaven, others knelt without a sound. Some just stood and stared at Him as if rooted to the ground. He said, but I could not contain the joy that flooded heart and soul. It came rushing out in praises I had no wish to control. Let's stand to our feet all over the building tonight. Church, I tell you what, I really believe that what I'm feeling right now is just a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. And if it's this good on this side, what's it going to be like when I'm on the other side? And all hindrances are gone. No more sorrow. No more death. No more crying. No more sick loved ones. No more obstacles. And guess what, friends? No more devil. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Him, church. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You this evening. We praise You this evening. Thank You for the privilege, the supreme honor of carrying this word, Lord, to the ends of the earth. Thank You, Lord, for Your touch tonight. Thank You for the power and presence, the touch of Your Spirit. Thank You for Your amazing grace. Thank You for Your precious blood. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, church, I feel like we've had a wonderful, wonderful altar service already. And I'm sort of just a little on a question of how to conclude tonight. But something just keeps coming to me, and I want to do this. I want us to agree in faith. In behalf of our church, I want you to reach over, join your neighbor by the hand. And what we're going to do is agree in faith tonight. Hallelujah. That God will use the Dunville Church of God to reach the lost, to fulfill the Great Commission. That the Dunville Church of God will roll up its sleeve and reach out to the dying, to the hurting. I want us to agree together in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we thank You this evening for this service. We thank You this evening for Your holy word. And Lord, we pray for our church right now. We pray, the Lord of the harvest, that You would equip this church for the harvest. That You would motivate us, Lord, and stir our minds and our hearts, that we would go out, Lord, and that we would reach the lost, that we would share Your love with those we come in contact with. Lord, we just praise You this evening for Your touch and Your hand extended. God, I pray for each individual in this building tonight. Lord, that You make of them a soul winner. That You make of them, Lord, a martyr, a testimony, Father, that they would go forth with their life and that they would show Your love with their life. Father, we praise You this evening. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just have Your way. Lord, we just take a moment to praise You. Thank You for Your presence tonight. Thank You for Your touch tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise You, Jesus. Just praise Him, church. Obey the Lord tonight.